Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast and the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm Frankie D, your very proud host. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is an international accountant who started his own practice in 2015, Accounting Bola, offering accounting and business services with the motto, Italian taxes made easy. Let's welcome Nicolò Bola. Nicolò, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being with me. And you have quite an interesting story, life, international accounting. I mean, it's incredible. So before we get into all that, tell me where you were born and we'll go from there.
All right. So I'm born in Emilia-Romagna, in the mountains of Reggio Emilia. And quite interestingly, my connection with the United States started with my great-grandfather, who was born in the area, I mean, basically the cradle of Parmesan cheese. It's the between Parma and Reggio. And my great-grandfather moved to the United States in early 1900, then had to be back for the Libyan War and World War I. And after that, he settled in the area I was born. I took my high school here. Then I moved to Parma to progress with my studies. I enrolled at the University of Parma in the economics program. Luckily enough, I received a call from a coach at Troy, Alabama University, because I was a hammer thrower. That was my sport. During high school and during university, I became the Italian under-23 hammer throwing champ. Then I got a call from Troy, moved there for 2 years, taking my master's, competed in NCAA Division I. And I think it was an All-American second team. I was 16th in the NCAA D1 champ in 2013. And, you know, after that great experience, I moved back.
Okay, hammer throw. Now, the hammer throw. I don't believe I'm in Chicago, Illinois. I don't think we had that in high school track and field here.
I think the only state is Rhode Island, I think.
Okay, but then it is an NCAA.
Correct, event. Correct. Yes, because NCAA basically has the same program as World Athletics, whilst high school governing bodies, it's basically picked state by state. So you always have shot and disc. Few of them have javelin. And I think Rhode Island exclusively has hammer throw.
Now, in Italy, was that an event that was throughout all of Italy or maybe just where you were from?
No. It's, the Italian sporting system is different. The school system and sporting system. So we always have club sports. You don't do sport at school. So you compete for a club, whether it's basketball, football, soccer, I may say, for the audience, or track and field. And then you basically, and all the youth programs are run by the Italian Federation, which is within the World Athletics, therefore pushes the full track and field programs. So I went through all the, program, we have different 2 years category gap. So 14, under 15, under 17, under 19, under 23, and then senior. And actually it's quite decent in the hammer throw. We got a silver medalist at Sydney 2000, and we always, been the top eighth, Europe and globally. So yeah, it's a decent event. I would say
very interesting. So you were a Division I athlete besides your studies. How did you learn English? Because you speak so great. Obviously, you went to college here, but you must have known English prior to coming.
Sure, I did. The big problem we have in Italy is that everything is translated, including movies. They are dubbed. So I was a good student in high school, always liked music because I also play the upright bass. And I was in love with the police, because it was like the cassette in my dad's car. And so I started when I was like 10, 11, I started reading all the lyrics. My uncle is a programmer. He knew some English. So I started, you know, reading some books in English. And then the year prior moving to the US, I had to take the TOEFL exam. And that was a bit of, I asked my high school English teacher, say, how do I do that? And she recommended me to watch a ton of US movies or English, well, mainly US. But then the problem is I'm not a big movie fan and I cannot, you know, remain attentive for 90 minutes. So I moved to series. I started binge watching series in English. And then when I moved to Alabama, I realized that English in movies and English in the Deep South requires some adaptation for that sake.
Well, speaking of that, before we get into your business and profession, what was it like going from Parma, Italy to Alabama in the United States? Because I have to be honest with you, you know, I'm from Chicago, born, raised my whole life. Chicago to Alabama would be a huge difference. I can't even imagine Parma, Italy to Alabama.
Well, I mean, the key thing is that Troy probably, I mean, has the largest international community in college, more than Auburn and UA. So basically, there's a large international community. So my best friend is from Pensacola, Florida, but then I met, you know, my other buddy, because we are the throwing community. Like, we used to train a lot and hang out together. It's extremely different. Well, just to say the least, I was checking flights. So I was moving from Milan to Montgomery Airport. And then I was checking flights it's Milan, Atlanta, or Milan, New York, New York, Atlanta, and then a smaller flight to Montgomery. I'm like, wait a second, is that a 5 minute flight? What's going on? Like, well, then I realized there are time zones between, you know, it's something we don't, I mean, in Europe, you have two time zones. It's like, whoa, you got to move to England or to, you know, Finland. That's wow. College was great. The college experience in the US is just fantastic. And we are very biased of that, because we always think that an American college is like an American Pie movie. No, that's not. the best opinion or knowledge we have is movies. If you ask an Italian how the US are like, it's, well, it's New York. I want to be in New York, Upper East Side, or Los Angeles. After CSI Miami, yes, Miami is a big place. And then the rest is like, oops, no idea. totally different like that. I realized people wake up extremely early in the US, not used to. First training at 5:45 at the track a.m. That was rough. I used to train 10, 11 a.m. and 7 to 9 in the evening. So I was not expecting that. And the football culture, that was a shocker. Like, to me, the craziest thing I realized in college is that people would have a trailer, they would watch a football game at a tailgate party in front of the stadium entrance. That blew my mind.
And I assume when you say football, now you're meaning the American football.
Yes.
In Alabama, the University of Alabama is very well known for football.
Crazy.
Yes.
Auburn.
Yes.
Well, I think back then, who was the chat? I think in 2013, probably Alabama won.
They won many, many times.
Nick Saban is like...
Nick Saban, exactly. Yes.
And there was Nick Saban and Les Miles in LSU. You know, that was, sport-wise, that was very different. College-wise, another different experience, because Italian universities are very traditional. Not too many hands-on exercises, not too many presentation. If you want to binge read books, that's go to an Italian university. If you want to how would I say, cover a little bit more and make use of what you write in the books, go to a US college. So
how many total years did you spend in the United States?
2011, 2011, 2013.
Okay. And then you went back to Italy. And is that when you started your career? And
correct. Okay. I decided not to pursue a career in the US. The main reason was, having studied basic economics and finance, I had to move to a large city. Too many things to do. Probably the nearest place was Atlanta. It was a little bit complicated. I'm not a city person. I'm more a small town guy. I like the comfort. I don't like the traffic. Atlanta traffic was insane. So I decided to move back, and I thought, wait a second. I mean, I have a American college degree. I have to be awesome because I know English. I'm just the greatest person on earth. Sent few CVs, and they turned out fine. But then I realized I don't want to be an auditor. It's not my career. So it was summer of 2013. Also tried to go professional with sport, didn't make it. So I'm like, well, accountants have big cars. They must make a lot of money. So I started to progress in the accounting career. You need to take, it's like in the US, a CPA exam, you need to take certain credits, a certain internship time, and then pass the exam. So I went to a accounting firm in Palma, a small one, because I thought, you know, I asked a little bit of feedback among people I knew, and they always advised me, hey, like, just try to go into a practice where you actually do the job. You're not an intern, because otherwise you're not going to pass the exam. Don't go to Milan to a big office. You may be very skilled in something, but then lose all the rest. So that's what I did. I passed my exam, and in the meantime, I started my UK qualifications. CPA was a bit complicated because I needed to have an address in the US, have certain rules. Now are a little bit easier. And I'm like, well, UK is nearer, fine. My brother also used to live there, so I could take my exams there. So I completed all my certification in 2017. And then in the meantime, I just realized one big thing, that accountants have a big car if they have clients. I had zero clients, so I had to wait for the big car. And the easiest way I leveraged was, well, I realized there's quite a large expert community in Italy. And guess what? Why shouldn't I be the accountant for the expats? So expats in Italy, whether they are from, mainly they're US and UK. But there are also Germans, French, Northern Europeans, South African, Indians, and they all speak English. So I started with Facebook groups, and I got my first clients, and then it was just an escalation from there. I started hiring the first people, bought the office, I don't advertise any longer. I just keep emails, say, hey, like, they talk about you. I need to do my taxes. Can you help me? Yeah, sure. And that was quite a hell of a journey. And I have to thank my mentor, which I met online, because, in the meantime, when I was about to get my certification, I'm like, well, I speak English. Before going into the expert community, I'm like, I should go into the big business. You know, I'm a big guy with zero experience. That was quite stupid. But I started emailing foreign firms, international firms. And this guy, Mike DeSaro, I met him in Paris, and he told me, just serve the expert community. I'm an Italian-American. I'm in Paris. We'll move to Italy. We need to do taxes. And he taught me how to do Facebook ads. And now he lives in Rome. We meet, every 6 months. And, you know, just to progress, we give each other opinions how to improve our firms. And yeah, that was...
And he's originally from America?
He's a Santa Monica guy.
Really?
His grandfather was from the South, I think. And then he did physics, something like that. I mean, something with, you know, too much mathematics and physics. I mean, maybe physics, maybe computer science, I think at Berkeley. Then took a master in Italy and realized he had to file taxes as an expat, because US Americans outside of the US still need to have reporting and filing obligations to the US. So he did it by himself, and I think his uncle was an accountant. He's like, well, that's a good business. Let's start a CPA journey. And yeah, that's how we started. I think he was 2014. And I always say that, you know, I have a strong connection with my American friends and American people. They're just extremely happy to help, and very, I mean, it's like with a gratuitous intent. He just helped me out and started, you know, gave me hints. And yeah, then we're friends. So I always have this appreciation for the American people.
Well, that's wonderful. That's a great story. Tell me, okay, so I go to Italy, I moved to Italy, I'm part-time in Italy. What kind of services do you provide, and what would I need to do?
Sure.
Provided that, I don't know, this isn't just about like working in Italy, right?
Correct, yes. So what happens is, well, I mean, you have a EU passport, so you can just, you know, settle in any EU country. If you don't have that, you need first to have a visa to enter the country. Just like if I want to settle in the United States, I need to have a visa. And basically, which then converts into a residence permit when you stay in Italy. And after a while, you get a permanent residency. And at some point, you may apply for Italian citizenship. Same thing that happens in the US. You need to have a visa to enter. I had a student visa. And then you need to apply for a working visa if you want to stay. And then you get a green card at some point, which I think a friend of mine got it, and it's actually gray. And after a while, you get the green card, you progress towards the citizenship. Same thing applies. So if you have a new passport, if you have an Irish passport, you can move to Italy. Italian passport, you can move to Italy. Not an issue. If you do not, you need to have a visa. And we also provide immigration services. There are a few ways to move to Italy. For instance, if you have an LLC in the US, you create a representative office in Italy and you can move to Italy. Or because the classic thing is, hey, I get an Italian employer, or if I want to move in the US, I have a sponsor in the US and I move alongside. Or if you have sufficient passive income, you can move on an elective residence visa. So if you make 31,000 euros, which roughly is 33K of passive income, like pensions, capital gains, basically any type of income excluding employment or self-employment, you can get a visa. Or you can invest in a business and get a visa, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the first service I may provide. We do work with some firms that help with Italian citizenship by descent. We don't do that, but you know, we refer like, hey, my great-grandfather was from Palermo. Can you help me? Well, talk to Aurora, the lawyer, we are on an Italian-American podcast, so I assume you all have that, or likely to. And then once you move to Italy, well, if you become a resident, then you are due to file and pay taxes. So there are certain compliance if you are self-employed or employed, or you live off passive income. The main reason why my business progressed is that when I started, then Italy also introduced favorable tax regimes for newcomers. So Italy is a high taxation country. So the tax rates go from 23 up to 43%. Of course, there's plenty of deductions, but I mean, if you make 50K and you're employed, 18K go towards your tax obligations. True, we don't have, our health system is paid for, education is paid for, or you have a minimal contribution. However, well, you don't pay it out of your pocket, you pay it with taxation. So, but if you are a new resident of Italy and you are a pensioner, for instance, and move in center south of Italy, then all you pay 7% taxes on all your foreign income, which is quite low. So if you make 100K of pension and financial earnings and foreign employment dividends, whatever, 7% for 10 years. And you can offset against your US liability. So the key thing is, if you pay taxes in Italy, you can write them off in Form 1116 in your US tax return. So this way you avoid to be taxed twice, because as an American living in Italy, you must pay US taxes, but you also need to pay Italian taxes. However, they offset one against the other. Or if you are employed or self-employed, then your income, so assuming you make 100,000 euros, well, you pay tax on 30,000 if you live in the north, or on 10,000 if you live in the south, which basically is a great tax break. Because if you make 100K in the south, you pay zero tax. And that's for 5 years. Or if you, there's also, we call it high net worth individuals tax, a flat 100,000 euros tax on your foreign income. So basically, they want to make, I think it's a European project to make Southern Europe more attractive tax-wise and kind of split Europe in two areas, like Northern countries, Netherlands, Germany, Ireland, Nordic countries. Well, that's the place you go if you want to make money and work. Southern areas, more like a retirement place and tax breaks after you made your career in the northern part of Europe. That's kind of the view we have at the moment. So they're allowing more favorable regime because Greece has, Portugal has, Spain has. So
and when you said north and south, you meant Europe. You didn't mean
Europe.
Italy.
Yes.
Oh.
No. Well, in the last sentence, I meant north and south Europe. When I was discussing about the 30% or 90% tax, 70% or 90% tax break, I mean north or south of Italy.
And where do they draw the line or to distinguish?
Basically, Abruzzo, south, excluding Rome.
Oh, so Abruzzo is part of considered south.
Yes, it's considered south. So basically, it's below Tuscany, excluding Rome region.
And then Rome up is north. Okay.
Yes, for tax purposes. I mean, if you ask an Italian, then we have all our definition of north, south, and what constitutes what.
Gotcha. And okay, so your firm, how do people find you?
Most of them, I have my website. I run a blog discussing about taxes. Also present on Instagram and Facebook. I do not have Twitter. I'm not a really social media guy, but I have somebody who helps. And LinkedIn, I get a few hits, but mainly it's from the website.
Okay. And these are all under what name? Bola?
Accounting Bola. Yes.
Accounting Bola.
Yes.
And so if people are interested in your services and what you offer, which it sounds like, and I'm sure you do a lot more services than what you spoke about.
Correct. I mean, I mainly do taxes, but if you have a business, then you have bookkeeping, audit services, payroll. Certain type of compliance with, you know, licenses. And for instance, if you want to trade wholesale in Italy, you need to have a license. We help with that. Or if you want to be a temporary agency in Italy, well, you need to have a labor department license and we can help with that. But mainly we do everything that has to do with company setup, accounting and bookkeeping, than tax errors for private individuals and companies.
Is there one last question? I'm just curious. Is there, okay, so here we own a house. We pay real estate taxes. That exists in Italy as well?
Yes, but real estate taxes, so property taxes are lower. So our system is mainly funded. So the Italian budget is mainly funded by VAT, which is normally, sales tax. We call it value-added tax, but in the US it's sales tax, which is 22% hefty. And then income tax. Then property tax is extremely residual. And that is run by the local councils, the local municipalities. But if you occupy your dwelling as a primary home, you don't pay property tax. So if you buy a house in Italy and you are resident in that home, you pay a reduced registered tax rate at purchase and you do not pay property tax. If you have an Italian passport and you are registered with the AIRE, Italian residents overseas, and you receive a receipt of a pension, you do not pay ongoing property tax on your Italian. So a few conditions: Italian passport, receiving a pension, living overseas, primary home in Italy. So which is your secondary home technically, because then you live, you know, Australia, Italy, whatever. But yeah, but you know, if you have even a villa in Italy, it may cost up to 3,000 euros, luxury home, 3,000 euros property tax, which as far as my experience with taxes goes in the US, it's extremely easy to get a 3K property tax bill.
That would be a godsend for us here.
Probably if you have in San Francisco, that's your monthly pay.
Yes. Well, speaking from the Chicagoland area, we pay a huge amount of money for property taxes, which people always say, even if your house is paid for, it's really not your house, because if you don't pay those taxes, they're going to take it.
Yeah, and they have a tax lien. They can put a tax lien on your property. And another thing I didn't mention is that if you move to Italy and you are on an investment, business visa, employment visa, etc., then you can register to the healthcare for free. So, and the other thing is that Italy and the US have a double tax treaty where if you are a self-employed person, you pay tax to Italy, but you remain under the US Social Security. So US citizens, even dual citizen, Italy and US, if they move to Italy, they can get the reduced Italian tax rates, tax are paid locally, and pay Social Security to the US. The other good thing is that if you live in Italy as an American citizen, whatever money you make up to 100,000 euros, well, 100, probably 110,000, is the foreign earned income exclusion. So you do not pay federal taxes on such amounts because you are resident offshore outside of the United States and you generate such income outside of the United States. So Italy is becoming more attractive tax-wise.
And it's definitely becoming the destination. You see it all the time. I don't know if it's these houses for a dollar or it's just that beautiful l'aria fresca. I don't know, but it just seems like you see it more and more and more that a lot of American people, they want to retire in Italy, a lot of people going. So,
yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I wouldn't advise to move for tax purposes unless your tax saving is extremely significant. And that significant depends on each other's situation, but then, you know, you need to pay a rent or buy something, et cetera. And what I realized, especially after COVID, that people need more space. Large urban areas are not only longer the preferable place to be, and and I did it myself, like rediscovered the sense of community. So in my opinion, the expats that are happier in Italy are the ones who then have engaged in a certain form into a community experience, whether it's, hey, my neighbor just, you know, we have the Ferragosto barbecue party, and all the street is invited, or we have the local festival in our small town, and you know, we cater and serve there, as you know, we volunteered. That's after COVID, we kind of realized that in the end, we are the human species needs like a community. And my feeling, and as an expert in the US, of course, I didn't grow up in the US, I was kind of feeling a little bit alone, especially in the work environment. It's, hey, it's work and that's it. Then everybody goes home and see you. I think Italy still preserves, I think probably Southern Europe still preserves that community thing. And but that's my opinion.
Yes, and that's a wonderful thing. And I know it's like that. And It's a beautiful place, that's for sure.
Yeah, or even like, you know, the thing I missed the most was the bar, because in a small town, like, we have plenty of bars here, and you just, you know, go there by yourself and then you meet somebody up and whatever, go out for dinner, go out somewhere. But, you know, it's not, even northern countries and Americans, they tend to, you know, plan everything and share on iMessage. I'll be there 5 minutes late, and here is my, you know, journey. You can't connect, like, no, whatever. Let's see at the bar. Let's meet at the aperitivo. And then let's see.
You're right. Definitely. Well, sir, you are a bastion of information. You are extremely intelligent, and your service as accounting bola for anyone that is in need of that, which there are a lot more people, I highly advise it. I thank you for your time today. It has been a pleasure and extremely interesting.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here.
Absolutely. All the best to you in Parma, okay?
All right, likewise.